The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, K4wins.com. Go to our website, check out all of our plays. It's free, and of course, you get everything we play for so far. Kai, tell us how we've done so far up through the bowl season, then we'll get right after it.
Last week we went 24-9-3. Not too shabby. And now our yearly total is 421 wins, 239 losses, 23 ties, looking at 63.7%.
Take it all year long. Case Kiefer, he'll take it too. He's live out there in Las Vegas. And of course, he's the chief editor and the big time dog of the Las Vegas Suns. Been out there for a long period of time. He's our jewel in our crown, if you will. His old man, Kip Kiefer, pretty good in himself. Can pick a ball game with the best of them. He, of course, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He joins us in the top left hand side. And Kai Gregory, who's been playing both sides for quite some time. Has been to Vegas a few times, probably four more times than I have actually been out there. I worked for ESPN, did some sports radio as well. So we have four guys that kind of know what we're talking about. Penn State, Boise State, Texas, Arizona State, Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia. Before we dive into some games before that, and we're recording the show here on the 30th, we got an early ball game today with Iowa and Missouri, but we got a bunch of games between now and then. Anything jumping out in Las Vegas style? Well, I was going to ask you, I asked you the last time we did a show a couple days ago, if you saw any of these lines moving. Nothing's really jogged either way, huh?
Oh, I mean, since the last show, we've definitely seen some movement. And, you know, there's no magic elixir. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, when we did this before the first round, I was so confused because I love Notre Dame and all the money was coming in on Indiana. I still won. But, you know, if you've watched our show, you know I am really tied into these market moves. And I think as time goes by, that's going to determine if you win or not, if you're on the right move with them. And I'm feeling a little more confident now after the moves. I feel like most of the sides I like, I'm getting some market agreement. Seems like the stronger money's on the sides I was like. I'd say the biggest sharp move we've gotten so far. Unfortunately, I don't really think this is actionable anymore, but hopefully you watch the starting lineup with Kip, because I said on that show, Arizona State plus 14 was just too much for me. And I've been Texas number one. I've been picking Texas every single week. But this happens a lot where the market kind of catches up to how good you think a team was, and sometime Saturday, I think into early Sunday, we just saw a flood of Arizona State money coming in. Now the books taking the biggest bets, the market making books. Now we're at like 11.5. I couldn't bet them at 11.5. I'd still be shocked if Texas lost this game. But certainly at Arizona State plus 14, we found the buy point for that team. So I'd say that was the bigger one, the biggest one. Some money on Iowa this morning. I don't know if this will run in time since you mentioned that game. Makes sense to me. I bet Missouri early. Unfortunately, I thought we were going to be stuck with Jackson Stratton again, the walk-on, who I was betting against all the time at the end of the year. I think on this show, I said one of my biggest bets of the year was Nebraska plus 6 against Iowa. And that goes to show it pays to get the right numbers. I think it closed three, and I think it landed three. I remember some people disagreeing with me. Not that I carry a grudge or anything, but Nebraska plus 6, that cash. So, yeah, but a lot of Iowa money now. I'm on a bad number with Missouri. We'll see how that goes today. The other games, just real quickly, since we're talking news, Oregon, Ohio State, still haven't really seen much. Ohio State took the money at first. So you'd have to say they're probably the more market side, but, I mean, nothing since the Open. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Penn State's taken a little bit of money. I'd say this one's been the least of the four, but certainly I think the professional money more on the Penn State side. And again, I want to preface this. I even hate saying stuff like this because people hear it and they're like, oh, wow, this is like free money. This tells you everything. It doesn't necessarily mean everything. Sometimes the public wins. Sometimes the sharp guys lose. Just look at the NFL the last 3 weeks. Every public side's winning. Guys that are doing this for a living and doing it seriously are getting killed. But to me, the Notre Dame-Georgia game really sets up is a pros versus Joes game. You look at kind of the more recreational books, the ones that are catering to, you know, the 80% of bettors. They got as high as Georgia minus 2.5 during the week this week. It seems like the sentiment's overwhelmingly on Georgia. But if you go to the books taking the biggest bets, taking the biggest money, they never got more than like Georgia minus 1. I think, the guys I've talked to that do this professionally and stuff, I think the bigger money is on Notre Dame. More tickets are on Georgia. It gives me a little confidence because I like Notre Dame quite a bit in this game. I've kind of talked myself into it over the time. But again, doesn't mean anything. sometimes the public wins too, but I think this is a pros versus Joes game.
No, but it does mean something because you like it, and that's what we want to hear about, man. That Iowa-Missouri game, very interesting this morning in that Missouri, of course, Luther Burden's out, starting wide receivers out, tight ends out, and Iowa just loves to muck up games at over under 40 and a half. You know how I feel about college football games in the 40s. I would take the under in that game all year long. Iowa's probably one of the worst teams to ever watch if you're looking for offense. You're talking about Notre Dame and Georgia, and I did a little more digging too because no one's talking about Notre Dame. You are. And of course, out in Vegas, they're doing the best regular season defense efficiency on the year. Iowa State number one, Oregon number two, and Notre Dame sitting there number three. No one's talking about Notre Dame's defense. We are. And I think there's a reason why a lot of people are thinking, listen, Gunnar Stockton, everyone keeps telling me that Gunnar Stockton is actually a play up from Carson. And I'm having a hard time believing that. I'm like, there's no way in hell. I mean, Carson Beck's banged up, but I don't think Gunnar Stockton is a play up. I don't think he's a better quarterback against Notre Dame for that. And I think a lot of reasons that a lot of people think because Notre Dame's defense is so good, I think they're going to be playing against. So let's go to Kip. Kip, real quick, those four games, interesting, and your son just went through a plethora of different things. What's sticking out to you in those playoff games, our next round coming up in just a couple days?
I think the lines are right, which makes it really difficult. Case and I taped, of course, the starting lineup in Las Vegas side by side. We went all four directions and four different directions in terms of what to do with the point spreads. I don't think we really diametrically disagree on who's probably going to win the games, but I can't get past. I don't think Penn State's offense is dynamic at all. I think they do what they need to do offensively to win games. Their defense is solid. They play, I just think they're kind of a bland team. I think Boise State is a team that, you know, on paper should not be able to play with these guys, but the line I have is 11.5. I don't know if it's changed from
that's right, or to
12, but that's double digits on a team that's lost one game this year. And that was by 3 points to the number one team in the whole tournament in their stadium. Case and I agreed the other day on TV that Oregon got off to kind of a bad start this year. I think they played Portland State in their first game. Didn't really look very good. Their first couple of outings, including the Boise State game, where they won 37-34, but that's kind of sticking in my mind. That's the one time, and the two games with UNLV, who I think was a really legitimate team this year, and they beat them both times. They've got Ashton Jenny, who might be stifled by the playing a real defense here, but I just as much as I know Penn State is the better team, I just can't see myself giving double digit points in this game. So I'm going that way. I think Texas has too many weapons for Arizona. I think Arizona State, who was picked last in the Big 12 by the media in Las Vegas at their media days, they have overachieved all year. They've done almost all of their damage in the state of Arizona. I just don't think they're for real. I think they turn into a pumpkin at midnight, although the game's at noon on Wednesday. I like the Longhorns here. The game probably will hang around that 10-12 range. That's how Texas typically plays. But I think Texas puts them away at the end, kind of like they did Clemson. So I'm willing to cough up the points there. Ohio State, Oregon. If Ohio State takes 1/5 of the passion and the drive and the determination they had against Tennessee, that was a buzzsaw Tennessee walked into. That was such an emotional cauldron after they fell on their face against Michigan and basically publicly humiliated themselves. They'd have to live with that for a couple weeks. I said here last week on the show that I think Tennessee's going to pay for Ohio State's misery, and that's exactly what happened. I don't know if they take that to Pasadena. I think Oregon might be top to bottom a more efficient team, although Ohio State has the better roster. But if Ohio State even plays 25% of how they did against Tennessee, I think they win this game. And Georgia, I'm not saying Gunnar Stockton is a better option than Carson Beck. That would be ridiculous. But Gunnar Stockton introduces a whole different dynamic to the Georgia offense that Gunnar Stockton did, or that Carson Beck didn't have. And if you watch last night's game in the NFL between the Redskins, an old habits die hard, the Commanders, between the Commanders and the Falcons, Jaden Daniels won that game by himself. If you've got a guy that's that dynamic, that can do that kind of things with his legs, it's impossible for a defense to stop you, the other team. The Falcons were a better team, but Daniels alone won that game. And I think Gunnar Stockton brings that kind of dynamic to Georgia, where it's going to be really tough to play defense against them. I don't think the Notre Dame offense is going to have a lot of success against the Georgia defense. I think Georgia wins the game. I think they're a better team, and I think they have more pedigree.
Guy, I think one of the games of the year we talked about right here, Oregon and Ohio State, that could be the de facto national championship game. Oregon's already beaten them once during the season by a point there at the shoe. Dylan Gabriel, fantastic quarterback. Guy's had just a monster year, 341 and two TDs the last time they played Ohio State. So the guy can throw the ball all over the place. And of course, I think a lot of people just aren't giving him the reps that he thinks. And again, I'm looking at this. I think too many people, including my brother and my sister, who both live right outside Delaware, which is a little suburb right outside Ohio State, they keep saying that it was the best thing in the world that could have happened to Ryan Day, that he lost to Michigan, because they're going to ride that all the way to the national championship. I said, that shit does not last that long. It may last for 5 or 10 minutes after a game. It may last, you know, when you put your fingers in the middle and get it after it, and it may last. But once the game starts, it's off the table. I think they're well past that in Pasadena. I think Oregon's going to show them something. And I think Oregon is loving the idea. They are the best team in college football. They're undefeated. And guess what? They're catching three. They're an underdog. Kai, what's your thoughts?
Well, first, I love the little nuances of this show, watching Case's face while Kip's talking about how Georgia's going to beat Notre Dame, and Case is sitting there wanting to jump in and go, no. You can just see it.
let me give one disclaimer. It wasn't about them beating them. They could easily beat them, but the Gunnar Stockton comparing to Jaden Daniels, that was a bridge too far.
I'm just talking about mobile quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's Jaden Daniels.
Love it.
That was a good one. But yeah, I
Carson Beck is about as mobile as the lamp sitting across from me.
True.
But well, you know, I'm going to be, like I said earlier, the contrarian on the show. I, as far as Ohio State and Oregon, you know, Gabriel's an experienced quarterback playing against them versus what you saw. I mean, I do think last week was an anomaly, or 2 weeks ago in the Tennessee-Ohio State game. I don't think anybody was going to Ohio State and winning last weekend.
Impossible.
That being said, can Ohio State keep that high? You know, I worry a little bit. Oregon's defense has seemed to be give up more points as the year has gone, and Gabriel has had to score more points. I think it's another over game here, just like last time. Although, you know, I haven't seen much movement, still sitting at 55.5. I would have to play it all the way up. I mean, I don't know that I would over 56.5, but at the same time, I still think you probably get 60 points in this game. If that Ohio State team shows up, you know, and we don't know that, then can they win the game? Yeah, I'm a Ducks fan. I think Oregon wins that game. I don't think it's going to be easy. Don't get me wrong. But I can see Oregon winning it. But I'm going back and forth on a lot of these games. There's no way I would give Scataboo and Levitt. Everybody talked about Scataboo when they talk about Arizona State, but they don't talk about Levitt, the quarterback, and what he brings to them also. The way Texas has just been methodical all year long and not really hammered anybody. Yeah, they stuck some points on there. I just don't know that I'm going to lay that for them to cover 12 just because of how they've been going on. I think Texas is going to win, but I will not be shocked if Arizona State goes up and pulls it off. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm not going to be. And if they do, it's going to be because Scataboo is going to run in and over and through some people, because he does that. Now, granted, against weaker competition than Texas, and I do think Texas' defense is very good, and maybe they get, you know, shown up. I'm not sure. Penn State Boise, if you're James Franklin, you walk in the locker room and you say, don't let number two beat you. Don't let Genty beat you. Make Madsen beat you. Can Madsen do that? Is Boise State's defense good enough to hold down what I do not think is a great offense from Penn State? You know, those, I think that's probably an under game sitting at 53.5. And I think the Georgia Notre Dame game, you know, Georgia's coaching staff, I mean, if they're worth a flip, they've got a little bit of time. They've put some stuff together with Stockton. And I think a bigger loss is Mills being out for Notre Dame than Carson Beck may be for Georgia. That is a huge loss when your leading sack guy, your leading tackler, the whole key of your defensive line is out. And I don't think that Leonard and Love are going to be able to run on Georgia's defense the way they run on everybody, which creates play action, which is how they get the ball to their tight end and how Notre Dame scores. I think Georgia, if I had to pick right now, I'd say Georgia wins the game. But, you know, I'm going to change again in a day, I'm sure.
We'll be doing another show here at K4Wins.com. 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 Of course, the favorites started off 13-4 this bowl season. The Dogs have bitten back a 9-3 clip the last 12, now 16-13-1. The overs are winning 16-14, if you're just wondering. I'm going to start with the best bets, and I'm going to start with Ashton right there just because he's averaged 192 points or have 192 yards a game. The over-under on him right now was 131.5, and he only didn't get that twice. One game, he only had 11 rushes in a game. They pulled him in the second half. I think Ginty's going to get it. I think he's going to get more than 131 by a long time. The other thing is, everyone keeps saying this is a one-trick pony team. You mentioned Maddox Mattson, 22 touchdowns and three picks. This guy's having a hell of a season as well. He could throw the football all over the place. You know, we looked about some of the running backs that have played against this wonderful Penn State defense, one of the greatest rush defenses we've had all year long. SMU, of course, rushed 58 yards on 36 attempts, but they do not count the six sacks that were actually part of that as well. And Breshard Smith alone went 18 rushes and 62 yards in that particular game. So I'm going to take Ashton Jetty over the 131.5. I love that. South Carolina, I think, is peaking just at the right time. They had a great shot at getting into the playoffs. Not only a great shot, but certainly a shot, something they can sell to the recruits saying, listen, we came really, really close, guys. They're going to have a really good showing. I think on the other side, I think Illinois is done. I think they're peaking the other direction. I'm going to take South Carolina. I love it. -9, -10, maybe not so much. I mentioned Iowa plus the two if you can get on it. And then I'm going to take the Oregon Ducks, the Ducks and the Bucks. I'm sitting here looking at it going, people, it's really hard to beat a team twice in a season. Well, we've seen teams beat teams three times in a season. If they're better, they're better, period. They're undefeated. They're not getting any respect. They're an underdog. They're the best team in college football. They're catching two. I think Dylan Gabriel's got a big chip on his shoulder. And I think Ohio State, I think they've got their one win. I think Ryan saved his job by getting that big win. He'll be coached next season. But if you're looking at coaches, do I take Dan Lanning or Ryan Day? I'm taking Lanning all day long. I'm taking the Oregon Ducks. I'm going to take them plus the 2.5 all day long. And then if I'm just looking at it just because it's such a small line, I think Georgia, I think anytime I can get Georgia within 3 points either way, I may bet them from here until the time Kirby Smart lays it out. I just can't believe that line's that small. I get it, but is it really that big of a fall off when you give Kirby 3 weeks to prepare for a Notre Dame defense that is really, really good? So I'm kind of leaning Georgia. Let's go to Kip Kiefer. Kip, best bets, what you got?
Well, as tough as the playoff games are, I do kind of like Alabama. I think Michigan has had so many guys decide they're not going to play in this game. I don't think Michigan's offense, even if everybody showed up, that's been even alumni the last few years, they're just not very good. Alabama's defense is kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish at times, but I think overall they played pretty well down the stretch. Remember the shocking loss at Oklahoma really was predicated on two interceptions, one a pick six, the other one run inside the 10-yard line. So it isn't like they had a big breakdown defensively. So I think they will completely stifle Michigan. So that means the offense and Jalen Milroe only needs to put up a couple of scores to cover this. I think Alabama wins this comfortably, like 28-3 or 28-6. Roll Tide in the bowl game in Tampa. My best bet of the early part of the week. Tough call on Illinois, South Carolina. I think Carolina's better. Sellers just got better and better as the year went on. Double digit points in these bowl games makes me a little uncomfortable, so I don't know about that. And I know Duke has had a lot of defectors. They play on Thursday against Ole Miss. Everybody is impressed that Jackson Dart's going to play, that Walter Nolan's going to play, despite those guys not having to do so. I think Ole Miss will be kind of loaded up, but this is the kind of game I think Ole Miss will get a big lead early, but 17.5? I mean, I don't think Duke's a great team, and I know they're not going to have their quarterback and some other people, but I just can't lay that many. I think in the second half where it gets to be garbage time, Ole Miss will get a backdoor cover.
All right. Kai, what you got? Best bets for the bowl season?
You know, Kip even alluded to it. You got Michigan's got 28 players either gone to the portal or in the draft. I think Alabama gets over their team total of 28. I think that DeBoer wants to have a nice little get ready for next year kind of coming out party for them. I don't see them holding, you know, anything back. Michigan's got their number one running back playing, but their next four are not.
Yep.
If their running back goes out, their number two running back that's coming in is somebody that was redshirting and hasn't played all year. So, you know, so I think that's going to be it. I think Kennard being out for South Carolina could end up being a really big deal because you get the two guys on opposite ends, and when they line up together, now they're not going to be there. I think that could affect their defense a little bit because Illinois, their offense has been pretty good at times. But if I had to do anything, and I'm totally on the other side from y'all today, and I know this is probably the up afterwards, I like, for some reason, Missouri. I can't stand Drink. I mean, if there's ever been a coach that should be called Coach Duke, it's him. They're just so irritating to look at. For some reason, I think that Iowa's going to handle that and just kind of move forward through there. But I would definitely say Alabama over their team total. It's probably going to be my biggest play probably of the bowl season.
All right, Case, you've heard all the crap we've thrown out there, and we certainly would love to hear some of your crap too. What you got?
Not a ton, to be honest. Complained about bowl season a lot, and then despite that, it had been going really, really well into Friday. I mean, I crushed Friday. I had a great time at the Las Vegas Bowl. That over somehow got there. I think like everything we talked about Friday was great, and then Saturday was the crash back to reality. I've just been gotten crushed ever since, I guess only on the Saturday, but still. I think I agree on Alabama. I bet 11, 13 and a half right now is not a huge move. I'd still probably think that's good for a small bet. I wouldn't go any higher than 14, though. It seems like they're going to have much more of their team intact. And you could make the argument that this was about a fair number, if this was played a month or two ago with the teams in full. So, yeah, I would lean Alabama. I haven't quite gotten there, but I lean South Carolina as well. I know those are two big favorites, but, Illinois has just been a weird team this year. It seems like they've gotten lucky like every game, but they're well coached. I think they've probably overachieved. The one thing that's held me back from ultimately firing on this game are some of the opt outs, like you mentioned, Kyle Kennard, Rocket Sanders. I'm a little worried on how they don't have there, but I'll probably get there on that game. And really, my initial talk, I was just talking about the market. I wasn't really talking on my thoughts on the playoff games. I know that's probably what everyone wants to hear anyway. And I think we agree more than we disagree, even though we're on different sides. I mean, these lines are tight. I think you can make strong cases for every side. The Texas-Arizona State game, I know that's the one I probably dug most into, and so there's been a ton of money on Arizona State. I would caution, it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, it's a market, things are moving. Texas has taken money late in like every game this year, so I'll be really interested to see if some of the big betting groups that don't bet until post, when they can get the most money down, if they come in on Texas again. So it's not like this is staying here for sure. I like Arizona State at 14. I don't know where it is right now. And just, I mean, one of my guiding lights this whole year that I feel like has served me well, this has been my best college football year ever, especially game by game, maybe not futures wise, but I just think Penn State has been underrated. And I think the perception of them being a fraud is completely wrong. We've argued about it time and time again, and we'll see how that serves me here, because and another thing, I've covered the Mountain West for a long time. I love the league. I'll tell you when it's good. I'll tell you when it's down. I think it was way down this year. I think the Mountain West was terrible. I kind of had that suspicion. I think bowl season adds to it. I mean, the third and fourth best teams got beaten up by Matt. I guess I can't say Fresno State got beaten up. They deserve to win that game. But, I mean, Colorado State completely got destroyed by a MAC team. Fresno lost to a MAC team. I do think UNLV was a good team. I think Boise is good, but it's not like they were running over the Mountain West. They had a struggle at Nevada, Reno. They had a struggle at Wyoming.
Yeah.
Penn State's rush defense, as I think you mentioned, is really good. Maybe Genty's even more special than I think, but I don't see Ashton Genty running wild in this game. I do think someone pointed out, I agree, that if Maddox Mattson is just even better than we thought, I think that's how they could stay competitive. But I really don't see it. I like Penn State here. And because of that, I have not bet this game still, and I probably won't. But I just think what Oregon did to Penn State in the Big Ten championship game was extremely impressive. I thought it was as impressive almost as what Ohio State did against Tennessee, considering it was at home and stuff. I think we have a short memory. We kind of forget about that because Oregon hasn't played since then. I thought that was one of the best performances of the year, the way they just poured it on Penn State's defense. So I think Oregon's every bit as good as Ohio State. And to me, that's a coin flip. I would take either team getting points. So to me, it's Oregon. Last thing, I guess I have made clear that I like Notre Dame, but I mean, and Kip alluded to this too, that he knows he's not as good as Carson Beck. I just can't believe that. And I like this because when you got a backup situation like this, you kind of get to separate art from science. You got to snuff out what's true, what's not. The Gunnar Stockton propaganda machine is just insane to me. I'm hearing, and I understand I would do the same thing, but I've heard, you know, some national reporters that I trust a lot saying, oh, well, you guys don't know. There's people in the program telling me this guy tears up our first team defense in practice. To me, this just sniffs of they're trying to build up this kid's confidence. All their actions say differently. Carson Beck was struggling in the middle of the season. Everyone couldn't believe how many picks he's throwing. Did you hear anyone calling for Gunnar Stockton? Were there any leaks about Gunnar Stockton being the better option?
No.
In the offseason, Jaden Maiva, not even in the portal, all of a sudden he's going to Georgia. US, they were desperate to get another quarterback on the roster. I don't know. I think I don't remember if it was Kip or Tony. Someone said that they trust the coaching staff more. I agree with that. I'm not the biggest Kirby Smart guy, but you have to take Kirby Smart over Marcus Freeman. But I don't know if that's outweighed by, and I said this last show, but I like Den Brock, Notre Dame's offensive coordinator, a lot more than Mike Bobo. So I don't know. It seems to me like there's a Georgia misinformation campaign going on. I'm just not sold on Gunnar Stockton. I think the team did rally around him, did some good things, but he also threw the worst interception you'll see all year in that Texas game. So
for sure.
But I don't know. It's just an interesting little wrinkle in this game.
His name is Gunner. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. It sounds like a quarterback, right? It's like Gunner. He's got the name already, and there's a reason why they named him Gunner when he was in Papa Warner did stuff. Yeah, so there you have it. All right, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Check it out, K4Wins.com. For all of our plays, we've hit over 400 winners this year, over 63%. Find out what side we're on for all the bowl games. We'll be back here, I believe, on January 3rd, which is coming up this Friday. And because of that, we'll keep this thing going. We got an NFL. My Bengals finally gave it up. The foot finally came off the neck last night after they got beat. The Cleveland Browns of all teams are the team that screwed them over, and they've screwed them over so many different times. So it just makes sense from the same in state, the Cleveland Browns messed up by Cincinnati Bengals. Anyway, you can tell how upset I was about that. NFL, we'll have NFL playoffs and more coming up in the next couple weeks. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you, man.
Okay.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.